Let's turn now to 2 Kings chapter 20, beginning with verse 1. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thy house in order, because you're going to die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and he prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth with a complete heart. And I've done that which is good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Rarely is a person ever prepared to die. How many of you have your wills all made up? I know it's something that we intend to do. We know that it's important that we leave a last will and testament in which we express our desires with what will happen to the money that is still in the bank or in the house or whatever that we might have. And we all intend to make out our will. I've been intending to make out a will now for several years. I want to spare the family the problems of probate, so I hope to set up an intra vivos trust so that things will be taken care of when I'm gone, and the state won't move in and the courts move in and determine what's done. I know that it's important that I do that. And I sure hope to do it within the next few weeks, but that has been my hope for a long time now. Somehow we just figure that we always have time. There'll be time to do it. Yes, I'm going to take care of that. Yes, I know it's important that I take care of that. But somehow we're just sort of procrastinators. It just doesn't seem to fit into our schedule right now. And though I know it's important, though I know it must be done, I've continued to put it off. In fact, I have a long list of things that are waiting to be done. I have two granddaughters who are waiting for their playhouses to be constructed. I have a grandson who is waiting for a new swing and gym set to be constructed in his yard. My daughter is waiting for the base molding to be put around on the floor that I just put down for her a couple of weeks ago. And my wife, she has a long list of those honeydews that she's waiting for. Honey, will you do this? And honey, will you do that? And yes, honey, I'll do it as soon as I get a chance. And I intend to do all of these things when I can get to it. But somehow these things seem to get shoved back as we are so busy, and all of us, our lives are filled with so many things that need to be done, that there are many important things that have to wait. One of my problems is that I take Tuesday off, but so often Tuesday becomes filled with important things that have to be done. Last Tuesday, I was on my way back to Philadelphia to speak last Tuesday night. So often on Tuesdays, funeral services or various things that come up, you can't just say, well, I'm sorry, I have a day off. You have to take care of these things. And thus, I can't really say that my house is in order. There are many things I intend to do before I die that are not yet done. And should I receive that message from the Lord, as did Hezekiah, I think that my reaction would have been much like Hezekiah's. Lord, can you wait a little while? Set your house in order, the Lord said to him. You're going to die and not live. There are a lot of thank you notes that I have not yet written, expressing my appreciation to people who have done special things that are so meaningful unto us. There are so many people that I intend to call and tell them how much I appreciate them, how grateful I am for them and for all that they mean to me. Calls that have not yet been made, cards that have not yet been sent, words that have not yet been spoken. And I want to do it, and I intend to do it, but it hasn't been done yet. I think that if the Lord should send that message, set your house in order, that we would change our priorities and that we would readjust our schedules and do a lot of scurrying around to catch up on these things that have been intentions, good intentions up till now. For many people, there is that necessity of setting their spiritual house in order. You've been waiting to share Jesus Christ with that friend. They seem to be open and ready to listen. You want to go over and spend an evening with them where you can just sit down and share with them what Christ means to you and answer their questions and hopefully see them make a commitment of themselves to the Lord. You've been intending to ask forgiveness for those things that you said. You really didn't mean them, and you know that they know that you didn't mean them, but you yet haven't had a chance to say you're sorry. You want to do that. You intend to do that. You haven't done it yet. You need to set your spiritual house in order by establishing the right relationship with God and establishing through God the right relationship with your family, perhaps, or your friends. The Bible warns us not to let the sun go down on our wrath. There are many times in the heat of an argument that we say things that we don't really mean. Cutting things, cruel things. You see, one of the problems of loving is that when you open yourself to love, you also open yourself to hurt. You become vulnerable. If I don't care a thing about you, you can't hurt me by the things you say. You may be saying horrible, ugly things about me, and someone says, do you know the horrible thing they said about you? And I say, ah, who are they? They're nothing. They're dirt. Doesn't bother me. But if I open myself to love, then I become vulnerable to you. And then those things that you say really cut, they really hurt because of love. And thus, unfortunately, it is those that we love that we often hurt. And sometimes when that disagreement arises and we feel that they have hurt us, and because I'm hurting, I want them to know how I feel, I'll say things deliberately to cut them and to hurt them. I know their place of sensitivity. I know where they're vulnerable. And so I'll strike at that point and I'll say something that is really cruel, cutting, because I'm hurting and I want them to hurt. I want them to know what I'm feeling. And sometimes we walk away without making it right. We walk away without saying, "I'm sorry. I really didn't mean that. That was a cruel thing for me to say. Please forgive me." But we decide to just let the sting stay there for a while. And we walk away with friction. The last word that we said to them was cutting and vicious. And now we've just heard that they were in that plane that went down. What can I do? What can I say? I have to live the rest of my life with that anguish, thinking, "Oh, why did I not tell them I was sorry? Why didn't I ask them to forgive me?" I wonder how many on their way to San Francisco on that PSA jet had their houses in order. The prophet said, "Set your house in order." It means that his house was not set in order. There were things that needed to be done before he died. The Lord was giving him the opportunity to do so. Some of you today are totally unready to meet God. Your spiritual house is in shambles. To meet him in your present state would only mean complete rejection by him. For he is a holy and a pure God, and your life is filled with many unconfessed sins. Worse, your life has been in open rebellion against God. You are doing things that you know he has forbidden, things that he has commanded that a man should not do, and yet in open rebellion, defiantly, you are doing these things against God, and you are not ready to meet God. Your spiritual house is a mess. And the Lord is telling Hezekiah the king, "You set your house in order, you're going to die and not live." You see, some of you have not really done anything that's worthwhile for God. You've lived your life completely for yourself. God has no place in your thought or in your priorities. And I wonder if it would not be as it was for Belshazzar, who, while dining with his friends, suddenly was startled as a hand appeared on the wall and it was writing on the plaster words that remained. Strange words that he did not understand, and so he called in the prophet Daniel to interpret for him the writing on the wall, and Daniel said, "This is what it says. You've been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Your life is through. Tonight, your kingdom will be divided among the Medes and the Persians. It's over." Suddenly, the message of God written on the wall. And basically, God said that's all she wrote. It's over. You've come up short. Your house is not in order. But suddenly you're standing before God with a messed up house. I want my house to be in complete order before the Lord calls me home. First of all, my spiritual house. For that is the most important. When I stand before God, I want to be able to say with Paul, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith. Earlier in Paul's career, as he wrote to the church in Philippi, he said, I have not yet completed. I am not yet apprehended that for which I was apprehended by Jesus Christ. Paul recognized that when the Lord called him on the road to Damascus, the Lord had a special mission for Paul to fulfill. Paul is saying, I'm not yet fulfilled it. I haven't completed the work that God has for me. There's still unfinished business. But now, a few years later, as he writes to Timothy, he said, the time of my departure is at hand. And I have fought a good fight. And I have now finished my course. And I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, our righteous judge, shall give to me. But not only to me, but to all of those that do love his appearing. When I stand before God, I want to be able to say, Lord, I gave it my best. I ran to win. Paul said, don't you know that they which run in a race run all, but only one receives the prize? So run that you might obtain. Lord, I gave it my best. Now, as I look at my work, I realize that it isn't the best. There are those that could have done a better job. But it was the best I could do. And that's what counts. Because God only requires that you do your best and then just commit the rest. He doesn't require more from you than what you're capable of producing. But he does desire your best. And thus the question, did I do my best for the Lord? The floor that I put down for my daughter a couple of weeks ago, it's not perfect. I know where there are some flaws in it. But it was the best I could do. It will be a little better when I get the molding down. But she's thrilled with it. And that's what counts. That work that I seek to do for the Lord is not the best. I recognize that. I know the imperfections that are there. But he's thrilled with it. And that's what counts. Because he knows that I was giving it my best for him. And I want it to be that way. From the earthly standpoint, I hope to get those playhouses done before the girls are too old to enjoy them. I don't want them to say, oh, Grandpa, yeah, he was always promising to give us a playhouse, you know, to build this one. Unfortunately, my daughter says that. I want people to know that I love them. I want to be remembered for the love of Christ that I have shown. I want my life to be truly representative of our Lord. I don't want to distort people's perceptions of Jesus because of my failures or my weakness or my humanity. I want to love as He loved and forgive as He forgave and show kindness as He showed kindness. I want my life to be a reflection of Him. We find that Hezekiah, when the prophet came to him and said, "Set your house in order. The Lord says you're going to die and not live," that he turned his face to the wall and he began to weep and he prayed unto the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 38, Isaiah, the one who brought the message to him, records more fully this whole episode. He tells us the prayer that Hezekiah prayed. He tells us that Hezekiah prayed all night long. And in Hezekiah's prayer, basically, he was saying, "Lord, if I go now to the grave, then I will not fulfill the residue of my years." Basically, he was saying, "Lord, I need more time." And he was really asking God to give him more time to get his house in order. And so the word of the Lord came to Isaiah the prophet saying, "Go tell Hezekiah that I have heard his prayer and I'm going to give him 15 more years." And I got to figuring, if I don't take on any new projects, that in that length of time, I think I'll be able to get my house in order. Awesome words. Challenging words. Introspective words. They should cause me to look at my own life. Because even though Hezekiah had a forewarning, we are not guaranteed that forewarning. I've often wondered what it must have been like to be on that plane, to see the scuffling, to hear the shots, to see the man go to the forward cabin to open the door and to shoot the pilot and the co-pilot and realize this is all there is. As the plane is spiraling toward the ground, you realize it's over. No time now to set my house in order. What is done is done. I can't change it. There's no time to say goodbye. There's no time to say I'm sorry. There's no time to make amends. There's really no time to do much for God, except to cry out for mercy. Set your house in order, the king was told. You're going to be standing soon before the Lord. And all of us are soon going to be standing before the Lord. And as we stand before Him, we're going to either be guilty or declared innocent. I say declared innocent because none of us are innocent. We have all of us sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God has promised if we would believe in His Son, Jesus Christ, He would declare us innocent of all of our sins. That's what the word justification means. To be declared innocent of all guilt. And when you stand before God, you're going to either stand in your sins, guilty, or you're going to be standing in Christ, declared innocent. Is your house in order? Are you ready? You don't know. You have no guarantee that you'll even get home today. I pray that we will not leave unfinished business when God calls us home. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for those opportunities that you have given us to serve you, to love you, and to serve others and to love others. Help us, Lord, to adjust our lives and our schedules, that our priorities will be such that we will accomplish and take care of those most important things, things that relate to you and things that relate to those around us, those we love. And may we speak that word of appreciation, that word of love, and that word of apology or forgiveness, in Jesus' name. Amen. I fear for some of you who have left the spiritual aspects of your life undone, spiritually a mess. I'm afraid that maybe you'll just allow that condition to persist until it's too late. Many have. You know what's right. You intend someday to take care of that relationship with God. You just want to continue a little longer in what you're doing, and you know that he's not pleased with it. And so just a little more rebellion, a little more continuance in sin, and then ultimately, I'm going to get it right. But the thing is, you don't know that ultimately you'll be able to do it at your wish. You don't know when the handwriting might come on the wall for you and God says, that's it. It's over. You've been weighed in the balances and you're found wanting. You've come up short. Amos the prophet said, prepare to meet your God. Challenging the people. One day you're going to meet him. One day you're going to stand before him. And if you haven't taken preparation, made preparation beforehand, you're going to be in big trouble. Now is the time to ask Jesus into your heart and life, to ask God to forgive you of your sins, to ask God to work in you and make you the person he wants you to be. And thus I would encourage you to go back to the prayer room and there seek the Lord and commit your life to him before you go home today. May the Lord be with you in the hustle of the next week and a half or so in which you're preparing to celebrate the glorious birthday of Jesus Christ. May he help you in all your Christmas shopping. I had to get out in that crowd yesterday. Can't believe it. Pee Wee Herman talking dolls. Do you know how hard they are to find? I've never heard of him before. But that's what it's going to take to satisfy, and I hate to say it, my grandson. Son. Don't know what's happening to this world, but he wants Pee Wee Herman action figure. But I found it. They had just put out a case, just put it out, and the lady said, "Oh, you better get one quick, because within a half hour, they'll all be gone." And as I had it in my basket, as I was going around, people said, "Oh, Pee Wee Herman doll, oh, where'd you find that?" You know. And little kids and everybody, and they were grabbing the thing, and I finally covered it over with the other toys. But you know, they don't have cowboy guns with holsters anymore. And that's what my... You see, we have a deal. I buy my grandson's presents and my wife buys the granddaughter's. And I have a little grandson that wants cowboy holsters and guns. Everything's Rambo, Uzis and M15s and all this kind of stuff. Lasers, you know. They don't know what the Old West was like. But my little grandson does. So I have to go out and brave it again next week. See if I can find those cowboy guns. But as we together face the crush, may the Lord help us to keep our perspective. Keep Christ first. Let's not neglect him and our relationship with him because of the pressures of the season. But may you experience his peace in a greater way than you've ever known before. The joy of the Lord, may it be your strength. And may you be blessed as you share his love in Jesus' name.